Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is a Faith and Family Friday edition. And today, the theme we are going to discuss is family, and in particular, marriage ministry. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of formal program that is oriented towards married couples, but living your married life in the dimension of a ministry. Today, Carrie and I are going to explore that with you in just 1 minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Welcome back. Let's get started with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that you are the good and loving Father from whom every father in heaven and on earth takes its name. Every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Jesus, we look to you to be our older brother in faith. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would be at work anointing us in this conversation to be a blessing and an encouragement to those who listen. And I pray especially, Lord, for those young married couples who are striving to live in accord with your will, but maybe are seeking a bit of inspiration today. I pray especially for them in Jesus' holy name. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Carrie, it is so good to be on the radio with you again.
It is so good to be here with you.
I got to tell you, crazy week of weather. Yesterday it was, 70. It was a beautiful sunny day. Day before, snow. Day before, snow. Day before, 70. Do you remember it being so many extremes?
I do remember last year when I was coaching the soccer team. And I would show up in shorts and think, why did I not wear sweats? And then we'd show up in sweats thinking, why did I not wear shorts? So yes, I do remember it a couple of times hailing and snowing, and then other days it being really hot. So I think just as hard to go out the door knowing you better be prepared because it could get cold really quickly, or the wind could drop it 20 degrees.
All right, trivia question. We had a couple over with their kiddos a few days ago. See how I did that?
Mm-hmm.
And it started to, I don't know what you call it. It was not flurries. It wasn't rain. It wasn't slushy. It wasn't sleet. The dad, husband, father, he gave a new word. Do you remember? Here's the trivia question. What was the word?
Grapple.
Grapple.
I saw it on my Facebook feed for some reason.
Did you really? I was going to say gruel. I couldn't remember it. I was going to say,
I was thinking,
the answer was, I didn't have an answer.
It sounds like grappa, which is the Italian liqueur.
Yes, that's
weird,
right.
Drink from sunflowers or?
No, fruit. They make it out of like fruit peels from peaches or plums or things like that. And it's very like strong licorice.
Oh, that's
kind of
right.
Taste to it. You drink just a tiny, tiny little bits of it.
From Italy.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have it here. I've not had it here.
I'm sure you can get it at a liquor store somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, grappa. But grapple. Well, and for me, that was a fitting word because in a lot of ways, we ended up talking with a couple that was saying to us, can you help us grapple with these things? We're trying to figure out how to navigate some situations and realities in our married life. And some days it's really beautiful, sunny, warm. Other days it's freezing cold and snowy. And then it's beautifully warm again. And so I'm using a weather analogy to, you know, map out what I think a number of folks can experience when it comes to their married life.
I think that's great. So we need to let them know when to have a rain jacket, when to pull out the umbrella, and when they can just put it in
Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27.
Yes, from our wedding.
From our wedding gospel, Jesus said, right, the stormy seasons, you build your relationship, you build your house on a rock because the wind and the rains do come. And yet you want your married life to be built on a rock. And for me, those are two different but related issues. Number one, what does it mean to build a marriage on the rock of Christ? What does that look like? And second, do you recognize that, number one, there are stormy seasons that are going to put pressure and they're going to bring trials and difficulties to your married life? I think when we were engaged and first approached married life, it was purely theoretical. I think that we had this idea that, oh, the weaknesses or brokennesses we saw in our parents, yeah, those aren't going to be ours. We're going to, you know, run to the heights.
I don't even think at that age you think we're going to have problems like our parents. I think we were just so in love and ready to start our adventure that more just naive or clueless. Honestly.
Use good words. Innocent, idealistic.
Clueless.
See, aren't those better?
Idealistic. Yes, those are very good. That's why you're good at you're a wordsmith. No, for sure. I believe most people getting married, it takes about 5 years to start to realize there's grapple in your marriage, that you will have a hard seasons and nice seasons. I was listening to a podcast, a gal and her husband mentor couples, and they're really involved as a married couple in helping younger couples flourish. And she said the one thing that makes the biggest difference in a marriage is that the husband and wife are kind to each other. And of course that makes sense, but she said, no, you really need to be intentional, or you need to be purposeful and have this mindset when you wake up in the morning to be kind. What am I going to do today? Or what are the many things I'm going to do today to show up with a kind voice, a kind smile, a kind gesture? And I thought that was really great because—
Tell me more about that.
Well, how often do we wake up and we're all about getting through the day, getting our agenda out, figuring out the schedule? There's so much going on and we kind of forget as we move through the day to be kind to each other, and that it's about a relationship and more, I think I focus more on what do I need to do next? And so it becomes a task, and the relationship part of it for me can really disappear or just be diminished.
So you said several beautiful and important things there. One is know yourself. And so knowing yourself in terms of how am I likely going to enter into my day? I think that's so critical for, you know, a couple, a married couple. So the husband and the wife, hey, husbands, are you hearing this? Hey, wife, are you hearing this as an individual? When you wake up, are you task-oriented, production-oriented? Are you relationship-focused and more tuned to the emotional, the aspect of the personal, the interpersonal? And that was the first thing. And then the second one was, I know a guy who would say that the two first ways that love shows up and should show up in a relationship are how?
Love is patient. Love is kind.
Yeah, you have to say that louder love because I don't think anybody heard what you just said. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 13.
I thought if I said it softly, it would come across better.
Okay.
Love is patient, love is kind. And Alaska is here. Okay.
Love is patient, love is kind. And I agree. I like what that mentor couple, I think it was the wife, said.
Well, how simple is that? And how quickly do we forget that? I do.
I'm not saying so.
You're not?
You said we. And I was sitting quiet. I think that my natural bent is towards patience and kindness. I'm not saying I'm a perfectly loving guy, but I think that one of the biggest reasons why we lose kindness is that we lose patience. And so remembering the ideal of kindness is powerful, is crucial. And I would love to explore a little bit, what does kindness look like? What does it feel like? How does it show up in the person who is extending kindness? And how do those who receive kindness are speaking back or responding out, you are being kind to me, if not in words, but in their demeanor, in their expressions, in their reception of that those actions. That is definitely worth thinking about.
Did you have examples you wanted to share?
Yeah, for sure. So if you're saying the first thing we ought to do is when we wake up in the morning is be kind to one another. Okay, so guys, here's a very simple thing. I get up in the morning and I could just say, oh, this is going to be about me and I want to take my prayer time and everyone needs to just, well, what do I do? I can say, oh, look at this. There's still a bit of a mess in the kitchen. Let me get that in order. And while I'm doing that, let me make some coffee so that my wife will have fresh coffee when she wakes up in the morning. I'll let her sleep. I'll get in my prayer time, but they'll also have a clean house and they'll have a fresh pot of coffee ready for them. That's an act of kindness.
Oh, I like it how you put it towards service. Because I think when they were talking about this, it really is a mindset or a decision. And for me, I have to think, what are the three things I can do this morning? I'll make Tom breakfast. I will compliment something he did last night that was late and hard and difficult because maybe you were up later than I was working. Or I could respond to something that I know you really want to do later on in the day and just kind of raise a vision for, hey, would you like to do that together? But for me, I actually, unfortunately, have to think about how to be kind and make it a mindset or a focus. It doesn't come naturally.
So, and what did I do? I went to my default settings of things that I'm inclined towards.
Service.
Towards service. Yeah, I'm a very service-oriented guy.
Okay, I just want to call you out. What happened yesterday in the kitchen last night?
I don't remember. What happened?
Well, I made dinner.
Oh, that was amazing. What a great dinner.
And then you wanted me to notice.
What did I notice?
Well, you said to me, honey, did you notice that I think you got water for the table. And I said to you, yeah, but did you notice? And then I listed the four or five things I did to prepare the
dinner. No, it wasn't that. It was something different. It was something that you didn't do. And then you identified all the things that you did do.
Sorry, that's what it was.
And you were teasing me about it.
Oh, that was funny.
Was it a act teasing or was there a little strand of reality in there? Or was it pure teasing?
Well, I think there was an honest bid for, honey, did you notice that I did this? And you were pointing out to me that I wasn't doing something that you had asked. I don't even remember what it was. I think I didn't bring a glass of wine to the table for you. Was that what it was?
Oh, that's what it was. Yes, you poured a glass of wine and you put it down near me. And then when we ended up going over to the table, you had brought that glass. I thought you had poured for me. It was your glass. You brought it over to the table. I'm like, that was your glass?
But this is the thing. Okay. I'm like doing 10 things to get that dinner on the table. You just have to take care of your drink and your plate. And so that was why I was teasing you. It's a fair.
When you said that, what I felt was.
It is a fair.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, of course.
It was a joke. I said it in a cutesy sort of way. I didn't have any kind of edge to it.
Not at all.
It was funny. Not because I thought you had poured me a glass of wine. No, this is what I got. All right.
So be mindful, kindness. Intentional, and focus on doing kind acts for us. So that was an act of service.
So let's think about, I want you to think about three ways that I could be kind to you in the morning that are not my default setting. And I can say the same to you. So for instance, when you get up, I'm almost always the one up. And so when you get up, you walk past me and your act of kindness to me is you'll go get a cup of coffee and you'll notice whether or not I have my coffee and you'll either say, oh, do you want some more coffee? And you'll fill my cup up or you'll bring me a cup. That's an act of kindness that you do. That's really beautiful.
Yeah. But I think behind all those acts is a heart is a spirit, is a messaging. And I think that's where I could be challenged to be more generous in how just looking at you, because there are thoughts and expressions that are happening that are conveyed to another. Because you know when you walk into a room and someone's really excited to see you and they look at you with excitement and joy and enthusiasm, and you know that that person is receiving you in a way that's loving.
Right.
And so
versus there's here, disdain.
Do you want coffee?
There's,
well, no, it doesn't even have
abrupt,
to be
abrupt. There's short. No, even not even that. Not that those are big. Those are maybe more dramatic.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be extreme. I think it could just be neutral, passive, quiet, tired, and maybe slightly annoyed, not really, you know, so it's not that we all have to go around being, be so much, hey.
No, I want you to dance past the room. I want you to come over, take my face in your hands and give me a big kiss and say, good morning, dear.
I just can't wait to begin the day with you.
Oh, and I just love that you're here praying. So inspiring to me, and let me get you some coffee.
All right, I think
that was really good. I like that. Well, she begins to break, Carrie. This is a good time to take a break. All right, back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, you brought the topic forward because we had that couple over and they had asked to meet with us. They got a bunch of little kids and it led to an interesting conversation about the idea of mentoring in marriage, mentoring as a couple to younger couples. And then that led the trail to that finding online a couple that has done this as a ministry. And that jumped out at me. You were talking about the idea that they put forward that being a couple, just living your married life day to day, has dimensions of ministry associated with them. And I love that idea because we, for instance, went to Mass on Wednesday and there was a poster on the church door. Do you remember what it was? Ministry fair. Come and sign up for a ministry fair. And sure enough, after Mass in the church hall, there are going to be these different groups and activities to be a part of. Oh yeah, those things that happen at the church, sponsored by the church, involving people from the church, that's where ministry happens. And this couple is saying, whoa, wait a minute, flag on the field. Ministry can be traced all the way back into the heart of one's own vocation as a married couple.
I think they were referring to the idea of not focusing on each other in marriage, but as a couple facing outward and realizing that we're called to be a witness and an example to others and to help other people foster their own relationship with Christ.
Well, and if I remember it correctly, you were also saying that that was one of their strategies for overcoming rough patches or places of potential conflict.
Well, I think sometimes we focus too much on the problems we're having in marriage. And what's a great way to overcome problems or inward focus of issues can lead to
scratching at that scab and digging into it.
I think the best way to kind of move beyond it is to go into ministry and start pouring yourself out, whether it's for us, you know, doing meals or babysitting or doing this kind of ministry where we have to stop like focusing on our own issues and try to help others and raise up a positive vision for them. And I think what was so cool about the couple that came over is they really sought our guidance, and they really thought that Tom and Carrie or whomever has some great insight to give us. And that encouraged me. I felt like, oh, I guess I do have some things to share. And as they're asking us questions, I think we were like stepping over each other, trying to answer and give the best answer. And I'd be like, that's not what they're asking, honey. They want to know. And then I would give my input and they're like, okay, no, I think it's this. But I came away from that time just awakened in my own heart and in our relationship that, oh, a lot of us married couples in our stage can give back and can help these younger couples. And
they call that pay it forward.
And I think we've gone to older or more seasoned couples as well. In our times of struggle or in our times of growing our family, we were always saying, what are we missing? What do we not see that could help us save a lot of time, energy, trial, error, by asking older, more seasoned couples to give us insight, wisdom. And so it made a lot of sense to say, yeah. Oh, yeah, we should definitely help younger couples.
Well, and I think that the concept you're talking about is blind spots, that a couple can have blind spots over their own current circumstances. You see a couple and the way they're interacting, you say, boy, are they aware of how they're coming across right now? But there's another meaning of blind spots. And I believe it's more what you're referring to now, which was or is, as we are moving into this next stage or phase of our married life or in our family life, what ought we to be paying attention to? What ought we to be doing differently or intentionally to prepare well for that?
I also feel that encouraging and uplifting and just being a voice of, you got this, you have the tools, God has giving you what you need in these younger couples. And I think if someone came alongside us or just spoke into our life a word of truth and encouragement, inspiration, it would help us strengthen our stance as a married couple and as parents. And also just not, I feel like a lot of parents today are more, I would say, concerned, worried, pressured to get it right. And I don't think we...
Do you think that's because of social media platforms, yes, that have the fake reality?
I think that that has, I'd say, 40% more pressure. I also know that we felt that you just feel that because you're really in a pressure cooker. You're with a lot of little ones. You don't have a lot of time for each other. The days are long. The finances are tight. And they just need to be encouraged and uplifted and say, it's okay. It's going to be okay. You are going to be okay. This God has a plan. And I think we've come through the other side as far as before in-laws, before grandchildren, before marriage.
Before the next challenge. That's the next phase, dear.
Tornado. But as we look at our kids and see God's goodness, I want to let people know you're going to get through this, and it's going to be beautiful and it's going to be wonderful. And I don't think people could tell us, oh, it goes by so fast, or, you know, this is just a quick stage. Enjoy it
while you still can.
I was like, are you kidding? That never made sense to me. But now that we're on the other side, oh, now I know what they mean by all of that. And so wouldn't it feel...
It's funny. One of the things that I'll say to young dads or moms when we're with them and their kids are having a meltdown or, you know, acting really out of control, and they can't, there's really nothing to do in that moment for them to get them in line and be the little angel. And I'll, you know what my go-to line is? I don't even see it. I say, hey, I just want you to know what's happening here. If I'm sensing that you're a little bit feeling awkward or embarrassed that this is all happening, and I just want you to know, I don't even see it. I have such warm memories of being exactly where you're at. I just don't even see this as any kind of issue at all.
I think when I saw that happen, we were at another family's home and their little 2 or 3 year old just was having the biggest fit. I found such joy and endearment in that. I just saw that Oh, I remember those days. And oh, isn't that so sweet? And we don't have those moments anymore in that way. We have other kind of moments. But I just really enjoyed watching it unfold. And not to their like detriment, but this is what happens and you can't control it. And you have to just surrender. Or oh, how do we avoid this again? And is the whole awkward messiness of it all, I find very entertaining.
So one of the phrases that's part of our Catholic tradition is that lay people are called to become saints by, do you remember the phrase, fulfilling the duties of your state in life? Do you remember that phrase?
No.
Are you serious? Okay, well, I listen to more of those traditional Latin mass
Oh,
homilies,
okay.
and it is a recurring theme that you are sanctified. You are being sanctified. God is making you holy. He's forging in you his likeness. You're made in the image of God, but you're going to grow in his likeness. And that doesn't have to happen when you are at the chapel praying for an hour a day. No, it's in the daily details of just getting by, just in what's the word, pouring out. Having to give patience, kindness, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. That's where you're going to grow in holiness. And I appreciate that more now than I did 5 years, 10 years, 15 years ago, for sure. That it really is, and that's the word of encouragement to couples that are married in the newer years and are having kids and are feeling overwhelmed. That the life they had is gone, and now their lives are being spent so much in the raising of kids, little kids, that that's where God has you. And God is at work in you. God is forging in you a life of holiness. And by the way, He's going to have you forge that very life of holiness in your kids as well.
I feel that in those times, it doesn't seem to be making a difference. The day in and day out family prayer or helping your kids to take turns or having patience with each other and having conversations around that because it happens over and over and over and the kids fail and the spouses struggle. And I think it's important to realize that when you come through it, you really are building something. There really is a house, a domestic church, a cathedral, so to speak, of be that is being built, but it's really hard to see it at the beginning stages. It doesn't look like anything. It just feels hard and difficult and mundane. But I feel like now our kids are all getting older, that we've gone through that season. I can see, oh, the structure of this cathedral is starting to take form. It's starting to take shape. There's definite, like strong beams and great foundation. I just feel that in those early years, it's just discouraging sometimes because it's so hard and it's so pouring out and there's so much sacrifice to the point where I don't even want to have more children. How, why would God give us more children? This is so much work. I'm not the best. I'm not at my best. I feel, I get impatient or angry or sad or just, I'm by myself. I feel
Yeah, it's like
alone.
you now with the dog.
Now I have Alaska. No, there's just so many emotions that you experience, and I just want to be an encouragement. I can see us being a really great encouragement to those younger families and say, no, this is, you are right where you need to be, and this is very important. This is foundational, even though you can't see it right now. And I'm sure a lot of the families have come from great families and they see what they grew up with. And so maybe that's kind of what their hope and vision is oh, this is where I came from. And now I know where I could be headed because they look around, but not always.
So you say discouraged. The part of the discouragement is this ever going to end? I didn't realize it was going to be this hard. The progress was going to be so little in terms of visibility. What about husbands and wives struggling?
I think the
Like not
discouragement.
being on the same page.
Sure. I think the discouragement for me is my human limits. I don't have enough patience. I don't have enough strength. I'm so tired. I really am worn out. And
When did
then
you eventually climb out of that and
are
reach
you
the?
teasing me?
I am
No.
teasing. It's been
So
30 years, dear.
no, and then on top of that, you get a lot of pressure from the social media platforms that you need to have a house look this way, and you need to have, you know, this kind of food you're giving your kids, and this is the kind of marriage that you need to be in, and these are the trips and the vacations you should be taking. I mean, there's so many other pressures. Forget about just trying to get through the day. On top of that, you can be fed this comparison of, I don't think we have what it looks like. My kids, they're so funny. They follow a couple of different people on my phone on Instagram, and I continually tell them that is not real. That is a fake life. What you're seeing posted is their best. And I don't know if it's helping them or it's making them more annoyed, but I really feel like these young, vulnerable ages of 11 and 13 year olds feel like, or when they see stuff on social media of other families, they think it's real. They think that this situation or this lifestyle is really all great and wonderful. And because they don't know, they're not parents yet. So they just see it through the eyes of whatever's being given them. And it really does form them. I mean, I think this is the main cause of all the depression and anxiety and worry of young kids today, is they can't understand the differences or the gaps that are actually there because they haven't lived that life.
Well, and it leads to anxiety and depression.
Well, and then right? this can happen to young moms too, right? And I know even myself, when I look and see, it leaves you with a sense of... studies show it leaves all of us with a sense of lack. I'm not enough. Am I enough? Is our family life enough? Is what I'm doing in our...
So
are we enough? I know you don't struggle with
that. That's not my issue. That is not my... I'm gift, not gap. We're on the way. Fulfillment's heaven.
Tom, this is... You don't struggle with this, but I guarantee most women struggle with this. It's the whole comparison, envy, pride.
Right. That's the deadly sin of women that they struggle with, is envy. And it's pernicious. How's that for a word?
Well, I know it's real because right when I swipe off of some platform, I feel this, it'll show up in anger. Like, oh, well, why aren't we doing this? And so there's this anger of, we need to have more. There needs to be more. Okay, don't you keep looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, I'm like, oh, great. Let's keep that phone out of Carrie's hands. I don't like an angry wife. I want enjoyable. No,
exactly. And then that's the gap. That's where, oh, this is the sadness that happens. Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel like I'm not enough? Why do I feel angry? Why do I feel sad? Why does this make... So then there's this whole human condition being exposed. And there's this vulnerable sense of... And then the doubt seeps in and the enemy gets a hold of you. And it's just crash and burn from there. So this could be a good ministry.
Yes.
Real thing. I'm not... Yeah.
I think you're right. You're completely right. I don't think that the church has done a great job of mentoring young couples.
Imagine if a priest just got up there and said, talked about this from the altar.
Let's talk about that in a minute. Welcome back to the program. So Carrie, just before the break, you were mentioning this phenomenon that you and I got to raise kids in an environment that was stressful and had pressure and was challenging. But today, God bless young couples striving to live a godly life as a couple and raise kids in an environment that the digital world and social media platforms has so completely invaded and so deeply shapes how they look at their own lives.
Yeah. And I think just to be aware that moms and dads need to be aware, it's not just young teens. It's not just young brides to be when they're looking at how their wedding should look. It really is some of these large faith-filled families on social media that show up beautiful, just gorgeous kids, amazing dresses and suits and ties, and live in this amazing, beautiful home. And I think it's really easy to say, wait, why is my house and my children and our life not look like that? And we did not have that when our kids were young. That was just slowly becoming something. And now it is everywhere. So anybody who has the ability to post all of that stuff, and also they're mom of a lot of kids, and they have this just kind of amazing put together life. It's not real. So when we talk about couples being on mission and what's it really all about, I think their mission is they're trying to build
having a ministry.
They're doing a business.
Yeah.
A lot of them are just trying to sell something, which is not bad. That's how they're providing, but it can also do a lot of harm to people. So yeah, we're talking more about how can you be on in the media and also minister to people and not cause more pressure. You're not doing it right. You're not enough.
I'm still way back at that first point, which is couples. If you hear what we've been discussing, it's that God has given you a ministry, not just an identity and a mission, but also a ministry. And a ministry is the way in which Jesus Christ is at work using your life as his hands and feet. And I know that listening to this program are a lot of couples that are older, that have weathered many storms, have learned and maybe just take it for granted that Jesus Christ is the foundational rock for their married life. And to realize God has given you a fund of experience and of grace and of wisdom that he will put into service if you're open to it. I shared the other day how you have this sense of gifting to provide a meal, a surprise, you know, make a Costco run for a family and just show up and the relief it brings to a mom and the joy it brings to the kids. And then the idea of bringing babysitters, free babysitters over. Those are beautiful ministries and not even the same thing that I'm talking about. I'm just saying, how about make your life available to have some couples come by and be able to talk?
I really love the idea of gathering many couples together and pouring into them in a more spiritual way. I mean, it's fine to bring a meal and it's wonderful to share a meal, but I think God has called us to something a little bit different and unique. But I do feel that we shouldn't get stopped in our older ages of, okay, where are we going to travel next? When do we get to go visit this next place?
Not even on my radar screen, dear.
What are we having for lunch? Where are we
going?
That's
not how God built me.
Not you, honey. I'm talking about couples that are like 15, 20 years older than us.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And to really bring a sense of richness to our lives, I feel like if we give back, it's so much more, it has so much more meaning and enriches that marriage beyond what we could imagine.
So here we are. Let's play the game. Minister to the married couple. Okay, so imagine there's a couple here, married 5 years. They've got three kids, and the mom's feeling a little bit overwhelmed, and the dad is in his mid-20s, late 20s, trying to figure stuff out. What would be something that you'd want to share with them? You've kind of already said a couple of things, but what would be a way that you would see a couple potentially ministering to them? Like things for them to pay attention to that maybe that's not on their radar screen.
That's like a whole weekend retreat.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many things.
I think about things like finances.
Well, I think, what do they struggle with? I'd be much more specific. Where are you struggling right now? Mm-hmm. Because it could be different for different couples. That's a way to just get out of that question.
That was really good.
I'm just going to back out.
Well, when I coach people, I'll say to them, among all the things that we could talk about right now, what's the most important thing to focus on? And what that does is it immediately puts people into a position that says, oh yeah, of course we could talk about a lot of things, but where's there the most at stake? And let's see if we can identify that.
Honestly, just that you're not alone, because all the little, tips and tricks, strategies are great. And you can get those from some amazing blogs, but I think in person, arms around each other, you're not alone. God sees you. We see you. You don't have to do this by yourself.
That's so beautiful. I mean, you're going to cry. I love that.
No, I just, that is the fundamental thing is communion of persons. It's being in fellowship. It's sharing life together with others. So it's not a ministry to thousands of people. It's just to, you know, three or four couples that you walk together and in faith. It's a beautiful thing. And I think, you know, when you look at social media, it makes me feel that if I'm not reaching, you know, 500 people, then what good is it? Or if my, you know, you see other posts where, oh my goodness, they look at all the downloads they have or all the views or look at all the reviews or whatever it is. And I think that's a shame and a sham to let the enemy and let yourself doubt that God can use you just reaching out to one other family. It doesn't have to be the quantity of numbers. It's the quality. Yeah.
Well, just yesterday we were driving together, picking up a couple of girls of our daughters that were going to have dinner with us or whatever. It's a party or something.
It's a romantic.
What is it?
It's a rotic night.
Rotic. Romantic comedy?
Rotic is romantic without the man. It's just girl night.
Oh, and goodness.
We're going to watch.
Kidding. Kidding.
What's the movie they're watching?
Is it Flip?
No. It's Walk to Remember. I'm almost sure it's A Walk to Remember.
Is that the Christian movie?
Yes. They don't know it. They don't know what happens. None of them have seen it. So it's going to be great.
Oh, cool.
Get the tissue out.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so we invited them over for dinner and an evening of just hanging out with the girls.
Well, and when we went to the house to pick up one of the girls, the mom came out and you shared with me that she had received a diagnosis of cancer.
Not quite cancer, just
cancerous.
Yes.
Something like that. And
thyroid issues.
Oh, okay. Well, I still got out of the car and I prayed with her right there in the driveway. And it made it very natural and quick, but it was still.
You're not alone.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
Right. And the Lord is here and the Lord is at work through his body, the church, to just present you with a blessing at your place of need. And, you know, that's natural for me. That's not natural for a lot of people, but it's a important and powerful way for God's people to experience or to encounter the living Lord Jesus Christ at work.
Yeah. I feel like as Catholics, we're not really good at ministering to each other in that way. And I know that because of when I see it in other churches, how good they are and how quick they are to surround people that are struggling and pray with them and really minister in that kind of more supernatural, spiritual way versus I'll bring you a meal, I'll watch your kids, which is also important. I mean, those are really helpful too. But there's a level of ache and struggle that a meal doesn't touch. It really is a supernatural, can you come and be with me with the Lord? Bring your faith.
Your point is it matters. Stop focusing on results that are spread wide and instead talk about going deep, that it matters taking time to care for someone with your presence, with your just sharing time together, life together.
And I, you know, and pray, ask the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, there's a situation here and I need to bring faith to this person. I need to bring hope. I want to bring them courage. And maybe we don't have it, but the Lord can use us and empower us. And through him, we can bring that to each other. I think that that's what people are really needing in those difficult moments is someone else's faith, someone else's hope, strength, love. And then we lean on that. And so that's priceless. You can't buy that. You can't just go buy faith off a shelf. I tried. Didn't work.
I like that. And I've never heard anybody say that. You can't buy faith off a shelf. Good phrase, dear. All right. We are coming up against another break. I want to check in with you. You haven't been on in a while, and there's been a lot going on in the current home and coming soon. And these things are relevant to the journey of faith that we all have. And so we'll talk about that in just a minute. Welcome back to the program. So Carrie, our kids are now at a new phase. Our kids, they're adults. That's crazy. And I'm finding different kinds of anxiety show up in me. Ta-da! The anxiety that I hadn't known prior. And I think that life beyond college was a horizon that I never really made a point of focus in my life.
Like, can we just get to college?
Get your kids into the good college and then through college.
Life after high school.
Then kids are launched. And by the end of college, they're probably headed towards marriage. And then therefore more settled. And I know that there are so many couples just laughing at me right now saying, yeah, just wait. When they end up having a relationship with someone that you don't think is great, or even when they do, but then they face trials and difficulties, right? So we're experiencing a couple of graduations. We have our oldest graduating from college, a couple years behind when she would have because of her missionary work. We have a second daughter who graduated from beauty school and is now figuring life out. And I don't know how that's impacting your prayer life. Is that impacting your prayer life at all?
Oh, yes. Just lots of fasting and prayer. How's it impacting your... No, I'm much more practical. I said to one of our daughters, and this is the thing. I think right now we talk about finances. The cost to live is so much more expensive than it was 10 years ago for these young adults. And it's not just food and it's not just housing, but it's having a car, and car insurance has just tripled. Gas. I'm thinking the amount of, and it's not just that, the amount of distractions they have with phones and social media, not that that's necessarily an issue for all kids, but I don't think that some of these children, young adults, have the work ethic or the focus to do what they need to do. And it's...
Are you saying they just want the life of easy satisfaction and comfort?
No, I think that they do work, but I just don't think it's enough. And then they're like, so it's not enough. So what do I do? Put the rest of my life on a credit card, call mom and dad. And so that whole sense of, oh, you have to get a second job or a third job. And then just discouragement, like it's still not enough. I work this many hours and I still can't save money. And the other thing is they also are seeing, what they say right now is that these young adults are in debt more than they've ever been. And they put a lot of their life on credit cards. And they see their friends traveling and going to weddings and going to on these wonderful vacations, whether it's to somewhere sunny and warm or Europe, or they take time off and they don't realize it's expensive and they need to sacrifice and save up for the future. And so they put it on credit cards or whatnot. So a lot of them are ending up in debt and still don't make enough.
In the basement.
They're going to be moving home. No. And so the other day, one of our daughters lives in Boston and I sent her a whole like page on Facebook about move somewhere where it's less expensive, move to a town or an area or a state that is just more for you or for starting out, because some of the kids will live in expensive cities like New York or Chicago or Boston or Seattle. And it's expensive. It costs a lot to live in those places and you don't realize it until you start looking at numbers. And this page actually compares.
Until you have to start owning the cost.
Yeah. Or I didn't realize how expensive our area was until we moved. And then I didn't realize how expensive our area was until I went to Franciscan and to Steubenville and thought, wait, you can buy a house for $150,000, which is still a thing there. And then I thought, oh, well, this must be many small towns in Ohio and in Tennessee and in wherever, Arkansas. I mean, of course, the places with the best weather are going to be more expensive, but there are way less expensive cities and towns, not even cities, I'd say towns to live in or areas to live in. And then it decreases all the travel, blah, blah, blah. There's a whole strategy for these young adults that I don't know if they know how to navigate it all, but there are some wins, and we want them to win, that they can choose. And, you know, you don't know.
See, that's so funny. Okay. So here's mine. My conversations are so different.
It's a good thing we're talking about this stuff, Tom. No, this is like the thoughts going on in my head that's why I sent her that page, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, mine was, much more strategic about marketing. I know that sounds really odd, but it's this idea that I have met enough women, our four oldest are daughters, enough women who put so much focus on what their own lives, whatever those lives were, that all of a sudden their window of finding a spouse, like finding a husband, just became more of an urgent, energizing, like, oh my goodness, am I going to get married? And that energy can get inside someone. And I mean, our oldest is just 24, but then part of me says, our oldest is already 24, right? So I'm like, how do I help my daughters go where fine young Catholic men are so that you're showing up where the good men are? That and then it's, oh, that's not the world that I grew up in. In the world I grew up in, it's you're in hometown and there's plenty of women around and plenty of guys around and good people all around. And no, now if you want to raise a Catholic family, you've got to be so intentional about finding a good Catholic spouse who has a similar level of fervor, devotion, and commitment. And oh, by the way, can also provide for the family. Now I've got anxiety.
And then you have to find an area where you can actually save money to get a house. That's not going to happen anywhere. Well, I think like I would say 60% of the country you can just write off.
To find all of the Venn diagram, all of those pieces.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of what I'm wrestling with right now is a different sorts of prayers for different moments in our kids' lives. I have to say that one of the things happening in the next month is we're going to have those four kiddos come back from Franciscan University. And there's no guarantee. You're always taking a risk when you send your kids off to college, especially when the kids were younger. And yet the signs that are coming back so far have been so beautiful and positive that makes me confident, right? It's a reassertion of confidence that God's in charge, that the Lord loves my kids more than I do, and he's going to care for them better than I can. And that you can see, everything doesn't have to be a trial.
I feel that you have great faith, Tom. I really think, I know you believe what you believe, and it is strong, and you take God at his word. And I feel like the kids have seen that, and I feel that they look to that as a source of guidance, like, oh yeah, this is where we're headed. So that's been a real gift to them. I know that a lot of us have faith, but it's hard. How do you convey that to your kids, or how do you help them catch it? How do you entrust them to the Lord? And it's such a pain, a heartache for a lot of people when their young adult children aren't practicing the faith or don't believe in God or are struggling so much and yet won't take the help of scripture and God's commandments and realize that, oh, if I love the Lord and follow his commandments, my life will be full and fruitful and peaceful. They want to go their own way, and it's just hard. But yes, they're coming back. I'm super excited to see them. And then Mary Grace will be here. We go to her graduation next weekend in Oregon. Anne-Marie's coming back in 2 weeks for just a visit. And then the kids, our younger two, are in a musical, Fiddler on the Roof, which is at the Oaks. It's going to be amazing. And if you want tickets, you can go look online, the Oaks. It's going to be really amazing. I've been helping with the set. That's what we've been doing this spring break, is painting. And I sat in on a couple of the productions or the practices. And let's just say the Oaks does everything with excellence. It is a true production, meaning 30, 40 people working hard, 10 people working tirelessly, devoted, with every detail cared for. It's beautiful to watch. It's a real production of talent and excellence. I don't know. It's just like, wow, you guys are this is your gift. So we're excited to be a part of that. And then what else? This is a busy season. I think a lot of people get caught off guard. It's summer coming and spring is in the air and you start to, we want to be outside more. And just this whole excitement of, oh,
club volleyball is ending. Thank you, Jesus.
We have one tournament left this weekend. One of our daughters took up golf. That's been really fun to watch her and three of her best friends from Chesterton play JV golf. And I thought that was brilliant of them because they get out of school at like 10:30, 11. It's awesome. Anyhow, that's been great.
So I hope this has been, again, always an encouragement to you all. And just know that we're praying for you and God is on your side. All right. God bless you all. Join me on Monday for more of the program.